Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
Awesome. Glad to have you here on the Positive Communication Show. My name is Matthew Cooper. I'm the host. I'm also the owner of the business Positive Control Systems, a crisis intervention and communication program where I teach these skills to professionals in the troubled youth industry. I've also worked with other industry professionals. As I also mentioned, you heard in the introduction, working with medical professionals, law enforcement, et cetera, and military. I also have a passion for working with parents. This is one of my newer ventures that I'm working on right now. Being able to teach parents the skills that they need to be able to connect with their children, especially teenagers. And being a single father of five, I have, not anymore, it's not four teenagers in the house right now. She turned 20 recently, so that changes her from a teenager into an adult now that's in her 20s. However, I have had a number of them, four at one time, being teenagers at once. And because of having so many teenagers in the house and my own personal challenges of being a single dad, I have learned a couple of things about being able to be a parent. Now, a little bit of a background on where I may be able to say I have a little bit of experience here. I purchased this crisis intervention business about 8 years ago now. And after purchasing this business, after I'd been working it for almost a year, my wife at the time decided that she was done. She didn't want to be married anymore, and she wanted a divorce. That was challenging for me, and I was able to keep the kids. She was pretty much done being a mom. Told one of our close friends that I've raised him this long, and now it's his turn. And I admit that I wasn't the best dad back then. I wasn't the best husband. I don't think any of us believe, well, some of us may believe we are the best thing since sliced bread when it comes to being a spouse or a parent. And at that time, I thought I was doing pretty good. However, I didn't think I was the best. And it seems that somebody else also believed I wasn't the best. And she wanted to go off on her own, do her own thing, and follow her dreams, which I can respect. And so I got the house, the kids, the dog, and the vehicle, and there we were. What I was stuck with, though, is not really knowing what to do, being both a dad and a mom, and having had essentially my dreams, my future, all kind of come crashing down to a stop. I didn't know what was going on. And so I made a choice. And that choice was to find the answers rather than to feel sorry for myself. I felt sorry for myself for a little while. Then I got over it, and I decided to start looking for answers. In doing so, I made the choice, I'm going to search, I'm going to look, I'm going to find out what's going on. And in doing so, I made sure that I took the time to figure out what's going on, researching, looking at books, looking at programs, other resources. And it was challenging, to say the least. And because it was so challenging, because it was so difficult for me to be able to understand what I can do to be a better dad, I had to first understand how I could be a better person. Now, for those of you that have been in relationships, whether you are still in them or whether you got out of them and you weren't able to hold a relationship in the same way because you got divorced, you broke up, whatever the case may have been. It could also have been your loved one passing on. That really does make it very difficult to be able to continue. Because I made the choice to improve myself, I had to first ask myself, where did I go wrong? Essentially being critical of myself and saying, where did I screw up? It's really easy for us to blame the other person. This is a reoccurring theme I've noticed among all too many relationships. It's really, really easy to point the finger at somebody else and say, you're the crazy one. You're the one that made all these mistakes. You're the one that did this to me. And I am the first one to stand up, raise my hand and say, yep, that was me. That was me after I got divorced right afterwards. I was blaming her for everything under the sun. It was her fault. She was a dirty, mean, stinking, nasty son of a blankety blank and blank blank and blanker. Okay? That was how I felt. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was hurting. I was in pain. And that was where I was at. It's part of the grieving process, part of the process I had to go through. It's part of the process that I learned from, that I am in charge of my happiness. I cannot leave that in anyone else's hands. And to this day, I do not give that power to anyone else. I have unfortunately lent it out to some girlfriends in the past. Didn't work out, and I've since regained that power, and I'm not going to lend it out for any trivial reason. If I'm going to share that my own personal happiness, the power of happiness, it's going to be because somebody else has invested in me as much as I'm willing to invest in them. And that I see that they have as much to invest as I do with them. Does that mean that I'm being very picky? Yes, it does. Does that mean I'm being overly critical? Probably. And yet, in my being more picky and overly critical, I am winnowing through and finding those that fit best with me versus those that fit pretty well with me. And that's one of the challenges I found, is I can find people that I can fit with. The question is, do they fit as well with me as I do with them? Having worked on myself so much, having taken so much time to find my own personal weaknesses, my own problems, I still have other areas that I'm working on now. I'm finding that my personal progress, my personal, what's the right word to look at it? If you want to look at the self-help section in a bookstore, that's where I have spent a lot of my time, a lot of my efforts, and a lot of my resources, being able to improve myself in those ways. One of my martial arts masters mentioned that I have become, he was talking to me since we were having an in-depth and a personal discussion about some of the challenges I was facing. He says, you have taken so much time to improve yourself as a person that you have become overbalanced in that area. You have become you've hypertrophied. You've spent too much time in that direction. You haven't balanced out the rest of your life. And so that's what I've been working on for the past 8 months. And I'll continue to do so, to be able to find the other balances in my life, since I was so far in these other directions of improving myself. So in improving myself, I realized that was something that I had control of. That was something that only me, only I could control. And so I took a lot of that time to do so. So as I got divorced, I realized that I had to be the one that took control of the situation, and that was taking control of me. I couldn't control her. I couldn't control how she acted. However, I could control myself, my responses, which is what I took a lot of time in doing. It also taught me how to be able to control how I communicate. Now, the show, the Positive Communication Show, it's about learning how to communicate positively and effectively in your life and changing your life in a positive way through your communication. One of the things I teach in my trainings is that all behavior or all of your things that you're doing around you is all communication. Everything you do is communication. Whether that communication is showing that you're shut down emotionally, whether that communication is showing that you're overly protective, whether it's showing that you're overly open and willing to be throwing yourself into relationships because of your passion, your interests, and your affection for someone. These are all part of the communication. And for whatever reasons, each one of these areas has a message that it's sending to people around you. Now, is it the same message? Is it the message everyone else can read perfectly well? The answer is no. It's not this specific message, at least from my perspective. It's very general. And asking more questions helps to get more information, more answers as you ask the questions. And with my story of how I was going through my life at this time, figuring out who I was, what I was doing, I was realizing that I had not learned how to really communicate with my wife when I was married. I really didn't. I thought I had. I thought I was using the nice words. I thought I was doing all those nice things for her to be able to really connect with her. However, it didn't work that way. It didn't work that way because she and I were very different people. Imagine a couple that gets together, one from Russia and one from, let's just say, the Philippines. Different people, yes, still human, and human, for the most part, are able to connect with other humans. That's something I've found is kind of fascinating, isn't it? Imagine that, communicating with other humans. However, even though we both have the Russian and the Filipino, have the same physical components to us, allowing us to communicate, to speak, etc. If we don't speak the same languages, we can't connect in the same ways. Yes, body language can be used, and yes, that is really a super big important part. It is. It's a huge important part. It's also very visual. Be able to be there in person. And if you can't be there in person to talk to somebody about it and to connect with them on that verbal level, it makes it very difficult to make sure that you have that intense connection with the person. So the next best thing right now is to focus on the words you're using, how you're speaking to a person, how you're connecting to them. If you don't have that common language between you, your relationship just got more difficult. Not impossible, more difficult though, especially if one of you is not happy. If both of you aren't happy, there are some serious issues now. If you're both willing to work through it, if you're both willing to make those efforts to work through these issues, you have hope. If one person is not willing, the other person is, you may be able to turn their heart back to trying to work with you. No guarantees though. However, being able to have that interest and that desire, both of you, to work together, that'll change the world. That's when two people in love can now make that effort, make that Herculean effort to connect and get together and to learn each other's languages and to figure it out. Have some friends, one's from Korea, and the other, he's Asian but doesn't speak any Korean. Or at least he didn't at first. Stick around, I'll tell you more about it right after the break. Coming up here in just a few moments.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
That inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
You're listening to OTR FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
about that friend of mine and how he met, actually, in this case, yes, he did meet a Korean girl over in Korea. He was hanging out there with a friend, and they fell in love. Oh, it was amazing. She hardly spoke any English. He hardly spoke any Korean, and yet they fell in love. What happened? We have the scenario of the Russian and the Indonesian, or the Filipino, excuse me, that we spoke of earlier. Neither one of them spoke the other language. However, it was very interesting. She very quickly zeroed in on his love languages. We'll talk about those a little bit later on. She figured out the things that he really enjoyed, and then he was able to figure out what she really appreciated too. They gave that attention to each other. In a very short period of time, they're both really struggling, really making those efforts to learn the other person's language so they could now communicate better. And the cool thing is they're now planning on getting married. Yeah. However, to make that happen, they both had to be interested in that situation. They both had to be committed to being able to have that connection. If they both weren't interested in each other enough to make the investment of time and effort, they would not be able to have connected that way. So if you're wanting to learn how to connect with someone, they're making the effort, you're making the effort, you're both connecting. Awesome, awesome. However, make sure you understand their love language. Make sure you are doing things for them, whichever your love language requires, that they will feel loved. Because if not, they're going to reject it. They're going to reject it, and they're going to instead not connect with you the same way. Here's what I'm talking about. I gave a lecture here, or a talk, at an organization this last week. Good stuff. It was the Oasis for Good, I think is the way they call it. And what was interesting is in giving that little talk to them, I spoke about learning languages, the primary learning modality, the auditory, visual, and kinesthetic, the different ways that we process information and learn. I also spoke about the five love languages, and what I also talk about, the dark side of the five love languages, and also making sure we can find harmony with those five love languages using the yin and the yang. Now, what's so interesting about these different principles and ideas is that with the five love languages, which is the big idea that I've noticed for myself with my wife when I was talking about how we didn't get along, we didn't connect with each other, I wasn't able to really communicate with her. The five love languages comes from the book The Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, a clinical therapist. Great, great guy. Oh, great information. Really great information. I've been using it for years. And I will continue to do so, giving full credit to him. And I really, really love the concepts that he's worked through there. Now, what makes it so different with the five love languages, and I'll go over those right now, you have the first one, which is going to be the words of affirmation. This is how you're speaking to somebody, and there's a couple different levels to that. You know, the first one of those, what he calls subsets, is going to be the words of encouragement. The next one is going to be words of praise, and the last one is kind words, using these different small subsets of the words of – or the – yes, the – I'll call them words of encouragement. The words of affirmation, okay? So that's the first of the five love languages. The second one is going to be the giving of gifts, and that's going to be something that we'll talk about a little bit more later on as we're coming through these. Next one is going to be the acts of service, doing something nice for someone with no intention of receiving anything back. And that's also the same with your gifts. You also give those with the intent of receiving nothing back. It's not a bribe, it's a gift. And number four is going to be being able to spend quality time. And it's face-to-face time usually, one-on-one time. And then the last one is going to be physical touch. Appropriate physical touch is going to be able to give that person the connection they need physically. Now, my ex-wife and I, we had very different love languages. Hers was quality time. She wanted to spend that time with me, close to me, doing something together, gave her that quality time. Where for me, I felt love from acts of service, doing something for me, not with me, but for me. And so I didn't feel love the same way when I spent time with her. Was it nice? Yeah, it could be nice. I didn't feel the same amount of love when I spent time with her. Because she needed to spend time with me, I didn't feel the same need to spend time with her. And I didn't realize this until after I got divorced. I didn't realize how much that impacted the way that we connected and communicated and were able to spend that time together. And after I learned that, she would, for example, I looked back and I was realizing what she would do. She would want me to make dinner with her, and that really made her feel very, very good because I was spending time with her. I was giving her that quality time. Whereas I like having dinner made for me. That was an act of service. When I'm making dinner for myself, I don't feel the same amount of love because I'm the one doing the work. It's not being done for me. Do you understand that distinction? Because that was the crucial part of how we were so different in our love languages. That wasn't the only difference. It was, though, a very big part of it. And so with her wanting always for me to do things with her and she wasn't doing things for me, I felt less and less valued, and I felt I was giving more and more and not receiving what I needed back. The funny thing is I found that that's been a repeating type of a dilemma that I've had in my relationships. Even though I know about it, it seems that the ladies I've oftentimes chosen, which have been pointed out to me, both by me thinking back as well as my friends and my children, Dad, you're always going out with these ladies with dark hair. Mom had dark hair, and it's not working. So you have to go out with blondes or redheads. I'm on favor of blondes and redheads, okay? Night brown hair is also good, just fine for me. However, it's just interesting that that's how it's kind of gone that direction. And since with these ladies that I've gone out with many times, they also want that quality time, and yet they're not having the acts of service as being their love language as much. The few that I have found, we're still friends to this day. We're friends to this day. The few ladies that I found that have a love language or show me love, show me friendship and love, with the love language of acts of service are still good friends with me to this day. And that's an interesting revelation that I just had as we're talking here. And the ones that I haven't been able to connect with, the ones that I haven't been able to have that understanding and that connection of the acts of service are the ones that to this day we don't connect. We are not really having that same level of interest in each other. They may have interest in me. I have an interest in them, especially in the short term, especially in a short-term friendship or relationship. Yet the ones that have consistently shown me over the years that they're my friends and that I feel the most attraction, well, not even a sexual attraction, but attraction as in a emotional attraction to them as a friend, are the ones that have shown me that willingness to have these acts of service. Because that is my primary love language. And so by understanding which one of these love languages is your primary one. Now, we have secondaries and tertiaries. I think another very strong one for me is physical touch. And these girlfriends of mine, or even just friends, good friends of mine that I've had in the past, even if I wasn't sexual with them, if I'm friends with them, even to this day, and we're still friends, it's because we had also physical touch in common. As a massage therapist, oftentimes they're massage therapists as well. They would let me work on them, or I would work on them, they would work on me. We would trade back and forth. This was something that we shared. A very deep connection that way with the love languages. You see, contrary to what most people believe, love is not a magical thing that just happens. It is something which can be fabricated. It is something that can be created and artificially created if you want. However, the results are just the same. It is a deep connection, an emotional connection, multiple times, if you want to call, rather than having a surface level of connection, deep, multiple times at an emotional level to connect you with someone else, where you can have this understanding and this connection on, if you want to go back even to childhood and use stories from that they can now relate to. When they relate to you, when you relate to them on these deep, deep levels, love begins to occur. I'm not saying love is bad. I'm thinking love's actually pretty awesome. When you can get to that point, I found over the years it takes me quite a bit longer to fall in quote-unquote love than other people, possibly from some of the experiences I've had, and possibly because I just haven't found those people who consistently show me with their love languages how much they love me. That may sound kind of cynical. I just think it's being practical. Not everyone understands or has the same love language as I do. And if I don't find them that they have the same as me, I'm not oftentimes going to spend the time on trying to cultivate that. There was at that same workshop I was able to give that talk to over the weekend, a lady spoke up. Her name's Holly. And she said that, you know, if you don't both have the same way of showing love, get out of the relationship, she said. It's going to be too hard. You're both, if you don't speak the same language, it's going to be so much more difficult because now two of you are in opposite directions. You're having to learn a new language. They're having to learn a language. It's not going to work. And I said, well, you know, I can agree with you that it's tougher. I don't necessarily agree with you completely that it would be impossible. Both people have to be willing to make the efforts. I do agree, though, from my own past experience, it's a lot easier if both of you have that same idea of giving and receiving love. You don't have to work for it. It's natural. It's easy. And you can really build deep connections quickly. So stick around. Back right after the break in just a few minutes.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
talking about the different love languages that we have, the different ways which we'll connect with people, the different ways that we're able to understand how the love languages are affecting us, and doing so in a positive or negative way. Also talking about how when you're in a relationship with someone or looking to be in a relationship with someone, what should you think about when it comes to your love languages? Well, what I'm noticing in analyzing my own life, as well as in speaking with some other people and at a workshop, a little talk I was giving over the weekend at an organization local here, what they did was this one lady I mentioned, Holly, in the previous segment. Holly mentioned that, you know, unless you both have the same love language, just get out of the relationship and you're not going to be happy. You can't be happy because it's always going to be so much work and neither one of you going to be able to make it work. While I can understand her perspective, and I actually have to agree that for my own life it's been more accurate, I've also seen with other people who have had their lives and their love language has been very different and yet have been able to still find happiness. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes interest in the outcome. Looking at generations, we have the Generation X, which is what I'm from. We have traditionalists, which were the generation before. My parents are what they call the traditionalists. After Generation X comes the next one, which they call the millennials. They're anywhere from about 16 to 30 right now, the millennials are. And then we have the newest group, which is the 0 to 15, which is called the digital natives because they've never known a life without having digital technology. Now, what's interesting about these is that when we have these different generations, we also have a different way of communicating, a different way of connecting. Back in the time of the traditionalists, oh, yeah, hey, getting married was what everyone would do. Being unmarried and being an unmarried mother, oh, that was horrible. Oh, that was not appropriate. And they were looked down upon quite a bit by society. And we hear about the divorce rate, how it's going up and up and up. Well, it's pretty steady. And yet some people just say, well, it's not changing. It's the way it's been for so long and blah, 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 blah. They're just full of bluster. They're wanting to fight and argue about these certain things. And I find that, you know, whenever you fight or argue about something because you're passionate about it, you're not convincing anyone except yourself. You're just fighting to fight. If you want to have an intellectual agreement or intellectual discussion, that's one thing. Then you can be able to convince each other through the force of your logic and your reasoning and your rational ability rather than through your – I won't even use rhetoric because rhetoric is actually a positive statement there – through your insults and your bluster and your loud noises you're making at the other person. No, no. If you're wanting to convince someone, it needs to be with logic and reasoning, when they're in a calm state, not when they're angry and upset. And so when you have these discussions and these people that are in these relationships and they get angry, that's one of the biggest challenges I've found when you're having these relationships. If you're both having a similar love language, you're going to connect so much easier. If you get upset, you're going to have a similar way of dealing with it, calming down, work it out, and you're good to go again. If you don't, it's more challenging. And with these older generations, with the traditionalists, where they took the time to say, you know what, we invested in this, we're going to stick with this. You have them sticking with marriage. You have them working through their job for X number of years, even if they hate it. These new generations, they don't have that same connection. They're going to be having a different way of responding, being angry. They're going to look at, they say, well, the marriage, divorce rate's not going up anymore. Yeah, because people aren't getting married. Why should they get married when they know they're going to get divorced? They roll the odds. Okay, 50-50 chance, baby. Come on, throw those dice. Whoa, crap. All right, getting divorced again. All right, what do I do? Got to go through all my stuff again, separate it out, so we divvy it up 50-50. No. Why go through that when you can just live with somebody and just be with them outside of a marriage? That's become much, much more common, very much more common. And I'm noticing, especially among the different religious groups that I am working with, that there is a fear. There is a fear that their children, this next generation, will not be following them in their footsteps. They'll be subverted and diverted away from the truth. And I can understand that fear. However, instead of being afraid, I would say, what are you doing, speaking to these leaders and these individuals, what are you doing to teach them any differently? Because the statistics in your church, in your own religion, are just as bad or worse than they are of the national average. So don't tell me that it's the culture when your church is actually having a higher level of problems. Now, why am I mentioning the church? Well, I'm mentioning churches because oftentimes parents that are in a certain religion want their children to follow suit. They believe that it worked for them, and they then believe their children should also recognize the validity and the truthfulness of their religion. Well, the challenge is that children are able to think, and these children these days have the ability to go and research things on the internet, talk to their peers, and have more access to information than we ever did, than my generation ever did for Generation X, more especially even than the traditionalists. And the millennials are even right there on the cusp of having all that information. And they're the ones that are in the age of getting married right now. And so being able to influence these young people is done so with your works, not with your words. And when I talk about acts of service, that's my big love language. That's the way you can influence a lot of these young people, is through your actions, not through your words. Don't tell them how great it is. Show them. If you don't believe in religion, fine, show them the benefits of it. Really interesting, really interesting. And coming from this perspective, which many of these individuals I've spoken with recently, they don't want to hear it. They want to go back to their tried and true, proven principles. Read your scriptures. That'll be the answer. And read them together as a family. That'll make it work. Well, if you force the kids, they're not going to want to. It's going to create resentment, and they're going to avoid it. I personally am not a big fan of forcing your kids to do anything. I do love, absolutely love, consequences and the enforcement of consequences, natural consequences especially. Now, with some of these other things out in the world, what do? You can't do anything about it. That's right. Natural consequences prevail in the real world. So what do? We teach them the lessons of how to learn and adapt when they're young. So that way, they'll be able to adapt more when they get older on their own. Now, this also ties into, when I'm talking about adapting and learning, to the love languages and how to apply them. Myself, me being a single dad of five kids, I work with each one of my kids. I don't always connect with all of them the same way as much as I'd like to. And yet, when I realize that I've maybe not been neglecting, or I've been neglecting one, not having the same levels of connection as I would like, I go and talk to them. I sit down, sit next to them. Hey, what's going on? I reconnect with them. Understanding their love language allows me to connect, even though we are of different generations. And I've noticed that a lot of parents have these challenges. Now, when I say a lot of parents, I'm not saying all parents. I'm not saying all parents. I know some parents that are doing awesome with their kids. Absolutely awesome. Single parents that are doing phenomenal. And then I know of other parents, even if they're more affluent or if they are able to have a mom and a dad both at home. Okay, great. And yet I hear the same tired complaints. Oh, my kids don't listen. Oh, what's wrong? Why don't they just listen to what I – why don't they do what I tell them to? Complaints. What are they doing wrong? Well, first off, they're complaining. And yet also, do they understand their kids? Are they trying to tell them what to do, or are they guiding them and directing them what to do? Now, I'm not perfect. I'm not going to be telling you, yes, I am perfect. Everything I do works. Wait, I'm not the commander-in-chief. I'm not a politician that says everything I do will work. No, I'm not going to make promises like that. Because I can't keep them. Neither can the politicians, no matter what they may say. However, what I do say is that with my children, I do work to be consistent with them. And we have good relationships and good connections because of it. And part of my challenge is staying consistent and being the taskmaster, if you will, the authority figure who is going to require them to be responsible and then enforce the consequences. You notice I didn't say punishments. I said consequences, because the consequences are simply a natural result of the choices they make. I'm not enforcing anything except for what they said they would do. And one thing I've tried to do in the past is to do it all myself and enforce it all myself. Like, you know, that's not as helpful either. I've recently enlisted the help of one of my older children, who's gone quite a bit, and yet she doesn't do as much as the housework. So you're like, you know what? She can take part of that responsibility, and she can assist by being able to keep my kids or her siblings more in line, because now she is responsible for checking up on them. Because if she doesn't do her job, then she has consequences too. Oh, kind of like being a manager over a certain number of, I'm going to use the term minions deliberately, among some other employees, and there being responsibility there. Not that much separation in, if you want to call it, power and responsibility, but there's enough of a separation that there is some definite more authority with the individual who is the supervisor. And so she's taking that supervisory role, and now she'll be able to assist my kids. Now, the thing is, it's also me being able to work with her and help her understand better ways to communicate and talk with her siblings. She hears me. She knows how I do it. The question is she going to follow it? Is she going to use those same methods? If she's not, man, it makes my job harder. And yet when she starts to use those, that job becomes easier. Learning their love languages and how to connect with them makes all the difference in the world. Stick around. Be back in just a few moments right after the break.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffee and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
With your final segment here on OTR.FM and the Positive Communication Show. Covering a number of different things right now, talking about the way of using your communication skills, using your understanding of the five love languages to connect with people around you that are important to you, and being able to have that, I want to say that not only a connection, but the rapport, that deep connection that you have to be able to have trust where they feel safe with you. When you have that trust and that feeling of safety, then you know you're doing something right. Now, you may not be able to have that feeling of trust and safety with everyone around you. I'd be surprised if you did. Some people feel more safe than others around the same person. I've been told by some people that I'm scary. Okay, understandable. Others, I've been told that I'm very comfortable to be around. Oh, okay, well, thank you very much. And the ones that say I'm scary are usually guys that say, whoa, dude, you're scary, because of my martial arts experience and the interest that I have in myself, protection and security for myself and those around me. And I talk to my children, train my children these same skills and abilities. And it's not usually any ladies that feel that, because they recognize my commitment to protecting my children and protecting myself. And they oftentimes find that very attractive, because many times these days with the men in this culture, they've pretty much emasculated many of them. I've been told since I was a young boy that acting too much like a man, too much like a guy, is not cool. I mean, you have to be able to have this feminine sensitivity. You know, it's important to have that. I'm like, well, yeah, I can understand having the sensitivity and yet not being able to be genuine to yourself and to be able to protect those around you. These, to me, are some of the fundamentals that make me who I am. And because we were talking about the love languages, there's also talk about the personalities. It's also talking about how we can have different parts of us that come out, these different personality profiles that come out. When you have these different personality profiles that are so unique to each individual, we can find people, we can find those around us that hopefully will match us more. Unfortunately, with the online dating, it's so general, it's so superficial, that many times you don't get a chance to be able to connect with ladies and communicate with them. And the ladies are so flooded, absolutely flooded with communication from other men. That's a big challenge for me. I mean, noticing how they just will continue to flood thousands, hundreds, even thousands of emails a day, usually hundreds a day, thousands over a week. And it's frustrating, because you try and contact a lady, they won't contact you back. Why are they not contacting you back? Each time a guy contacts or tries to contact a lady and she doesn't go back with him is a rejection. They say, oh, it's a numbers game. It's not a numbers game. It's not, because she's having to go through huge numbers for her, and so she's not even getting to you. It's not a numbers game. It's not just going through so many people, being able to meet with them, connect with them, and finding out which ones click or not. If you can't even get to the prospect, if you can't even connect with them, it's no longer a numbers game. And so being able to find these people, find individuals that have a similar thought, a similar idea to you, I'm still finding this surprisingly that even though, yes, there's a growing number of people that are making these connections online, the majority still are through friends, through personal connections. Oh, I know this person. Hey, do you know this one? No, I don't. You know what? You two would be a really cute couple. You should go out on a date. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'll set you up on a blind date. And voila. Friends are able to recognize similar compatibilities. Not all the time. Not all the time, of course. Some of those are really bad. And yet, sometimes those friends get it right, and they oftentimes get it right a lot more than the online dating game does. That human interaction, that human connection and recognition of the strengths, the powers, and the compatibilities which are had between individuals. And this is of interest to me, because I've seen all too often how the online dating is the primary way that people oftentimes have a way of getting out and getting connected. Why? Because there are so many choices. So many choices, so many things to do or not do. Where do you go out to meet people that have a similar mindset to you? And how do you know they're similar to you unless you've been out there with them for a while? That's one of my biggest challenges. Because I do love the connection, the communication aspects. A friend of mine recently mentioned that my ninja skills should be upgraded to Jedi skills because my ninja skills aren't sufficient to be able to communicate with people. I need to instead be able to sense a disturbance in the Force and then be able to respond appropriately and to be able to stop whatever is going on with my Jedi mind tricks and powers, which I just have to laugh at. That would be nice if I had some overwhelmingly powerful Jedi skills. That would be awesome, being able to sense these disturbances in the Force. And yet, if you can read body language, that gives you an idea. If you're not seeing body language, dang, it's tough. Dang, it's tough. And the reason why I'm talking about dating is because that's part of communication as well. And it's what I'm going through with some of the challenges I'm facing. I mean, I was dating a a Russian lady a few times. She'd connected with me over an was it called Match.com, I believe it was. And I thought, okay, cool. She seems awesome. We had some great banter online. Cool talking back and forth. When I met her in person, I swear to you, it would be easier to pull out my teeth than to be able to drag a couple of answers out of her. I don't know if she thought she was being coy or if she thought she was being cute by by holding back so much information. Instead of making her seem mysterious, it made her feel that she was not interested in me and that she didn't want to continue. And I felt that was a waste of my time and my money. Did I talk to her about it? No. Why? If she didn't get it, then she's not a match for me. Well, that sounds like it's kind of a shallow perspective. Yeah. If that's shallow, then that's how it is. Because out here in the dating world of today, there needs to be a connection on that physical level if you're going to take the time and the risk to meet someone. It's not about playing games. I'm sorry. And if someone's into playing games, I'm not interested, which is probably the reason why I don't do as well online with dating. I much, much rather have a face-to-face contact or communication. I'm very good at being able to text and write and text and message back and forth. It's being able to make that personal connection, though. I want to find out what their dreams are. I want to find out who they are inside, who they want to be. My profiles reflect that. I'm not playing games. I'm interested in this. I'm not a player. Talk to me. It's really hard for me to talk to you if you don't message me first. Because then I have to wait for you to wade through hundreds of messages to eventually get back to me, if you ever do. And so because of that, I'm looking at how I can be able to change my strategies and find a better way. Honestly, right now I'm doing pretty good being single, and I'm okay with it. I'm really very okay with it. I'm okay with it because I'm building me. I'm building these other areas of my life and improving those, helping my kids, being there for them. That's one of the things I notice when I'm dating is that I'm not there for my kids as much. And they will then complain to me, "Dad, hey, I haven't seen you for a while. When do we get to spend some time? I want to talk to you." My kids are my number one priority. Number one. Being able to have a girlfriend and someday a wife who can understand that, understands that my kids will always be first. When they're out of the house, they're still first. When they have their own families, then it's easier for me. When they're more taken care of on their own, they're still going to have that first place in my heart. Even if I get married, she'll eventually have a closer place to first. Until then, though, my kids come first. And being able to recognize that has been a source of peace for me. Having a lot of loneliness, which does happen occasionally, when you're not having someone to fill your love tank, when you're not having, as I analogy I used was talking about the nutrition and being able to have the right minerals in your diet. If you are iron deficient, you have anemia. You have anemia. You need iron. It doesn't matter how much potassium you get. You need that iron. So if my love language is acts of service, and somebody instead wants to give me, say, words of affirmation or giving me gifts, and they're constantly saying how awesome I am and giving me gifts, that's great. That's like potassium, manganese, magnesium, calcium. They're giving me all these really great minerals. They didn't give me what I need, though. They did not give me the iron that I need to have. My acts of service. So until I receive those, I don't feel that connection, that love with someone. I can't. And I'm seeing it more and more clear and clear every day that I'm experiencing these and being able to work with people on them. If you want to make a difference in your life with your children, if you want to make a difference in your life with your spouse, your partners, your lovers, anyone who's important to you, including family members, extended family, friends, etc., and you want to have great relationships with them, you need to understand their love languages. You need to understand what it is that really floats their boat, rocks their world, causes them to feel like they are appreciated and loved. Until you're able to do that, you will not be able to get through to them. You will not be able to connect with them, build rapport with them, cause them to feel trust and feel safe in your presence. Until you do that, you're not going to be able to build that and have them feel that emotion back towards you. And it's not going to happen unless you do it first. We must become the change we want to see in the world, and it's not going to make a difference until we first make those efforts ourselves. It's been a great show, everyone. I'll connect with you next week. Another show coming up right after this.